Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into worship here at Grantham Church. Thank you to our brass for that wonderful prelude music. Today is our annual Thanksgiving service here at Grantham. Of course, as Christians, we're always called to be thankful. But today we set aside a very special time of Thanksgiving to acknowledge all that God has done for us, all that God has provided for us. I like to remind us every year at Thanksgiving that the Hebrew word for Thanksgiving, it can also be translated to praise or even testimony. And that really implies that giving thanks means telling others about what God has done. And so that's why every year in this service, we include testimonies from our own congregation. So this year is no different. Later in the service, we'll have a video of short testimonies from congregation members. And we'll also just celebrate everything God is doing in this community. We'll recognize new members, celebrate baptisms, and we'll hear from our children's choir, which I think is always just a very hopeful, encouraging sound. So today is very much a celebration of what God is doing. This morning, let's reflect as we worship. Let's reflect, what do we have to be thankful for on an individual level and a communal level? What can we thank God for as a church family? So with that communal mindset, let's begin this morning by passing the peace of Christ to one another, blessing one another as we enter into worship. So as we greet one another, one of you will say, "The peace of Christ be with you," and the other can respond, "And also with you." So let's now stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things.
You may be seated. Let's take a moment now to silently sit in the presence of God. Let's bring to God any thoughts or emotions we have with us this morning. We can also take this time to express our gratitude to God. Let's take a short minute to sit in silence with God. most blessed, most beautiful Christ. In you, we receive all things. The receiving takes growth. So you give us guiding. Saints and sages and scripture. Thank you for the guiding. The receiving takes others. So you give us the world. Nature and neighbors and nations. Thank you for the world. The receiving takes change. So you give us seasons, life and death and new life. Thank you for the seasons. The receiving takes time. So you give us time. Present and future and forever. Thank you for the time. Most blessed, most beautiful Christ, you give us yourself. And in you, O Christ, we belong. To you and to God and to all, thank you for the giving. Amen.
Good morning, Grantham Church. Great to see all of you in worship. And if you're visiting with us, welcome. My name is David Flowers. I'm a senior pastor here at Grantham. I always love this time of year, our annual Thanksgiving service. And then afterward, we'll have lunch and then hold council. And then starting next Sunday is the season of Advent. So a lot of great things going on in the church. Many things to be thankful for, as you've already seen this morning. And we'll continue to see as we worship together. At this point, I'm happy this morning to present three people who are joining Grantham Church today as members of our congregation. As many of you know, in order to become a member of Grantham Church, you are required to attend the Discover Grantham Church class, typically offered in the spring and in the fall. And about a year ago, we created a hybrid class, which is a lot more accessible, so folks can watch some videos online, read some articles, and then show up for a half a day on Saturday. And here's some of the things that we cover, who we are. So we look at our core values and theological streams, what we do, how we function and operate as a Brethren in Christ church, ways that folks can be involved in the congregation, and of course, the importance and spiritual benefits of church membership. You know, we don't have any formal documents and or instructions from the New Testament on how to implement church membership, but the Apostle Paul does describe that the church has many members, and that there was a proper way these members are to live in relationship to one another as a local expression of the body of Christ. Let's listen to the language of belonging that Paul uses in his letter to the church in Corinth, as Pastor Melissa reads from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27.
Hear the word of the Lord. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
What a wonderful metaphor, this body metaphor of Paul to communicate what the church should be like. In addition to people having accepted Christ as Lord through Christian baptism and testified to their conversion before the church, as you can read in the testimonies this morning that's in your bulletin, those interested in membership must agree to the Grantham Church membership covenant. Our covenant says this: as followers of Jesus, I recognize the biblical call to and the spiritual value of having a covenant relationship with other Christians in the context of a local congregation. I choose to unite in covenant membership with the church body of Grantham Church. Furthermore, I commit myself to the following: to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, learning to obey his teachings and his example as it's revealed to us in the New Testament, be involved in ongoing church ministry, so beyond Sunday morning worship service, things like small groups, learning communities, ministry commissions, children, youth, outreach, and so forth. Also to support the ministry of Grantham Church through prayer, time, and energy, which includes active involvement and regular financial giving. To take ownership of the church and under normal circumstances fill in the gaps when needed and called upon to serve the purposes of the gospel. To support and pray for the leadership of Grantham Church as they seek to guide and to build up the body of Christ. To seek to be loving in all of my relationships, no matter what group, class, race, gender, nationality, it doesn't matter, to be a Christian peacemaker in and outside the church. Also, to protect the unity of Grantham Church by abstaining from divisive behavior, things like gossip or bickering or slander, and by seeking peaceful resolution of conflict. Also to remain open to give and to receive counsel, to forgive and to be forgiven, to be challenged and to be held accountable for my words and deeds, to discover my unique gifting and calling within the body of Christ and helping others to do the same as we serve alongside one another in ministry. One of the things that we talked about yesterday, we held a Discover Grantham Church class, is these read a lot like vows, right? These are relational. And so what we're doing now is a ceremony, kind of like a wedding, where we're exchanging vows with one another. It's not contractual, it's covenantal. It's covenantal. And so Christ is at the center of this covenant relationship. The covenant continues to say, with the help of my brothers and sisters at Grantham Church, I want to be accountable for faithfulness to keep this covenant with you and God. By signing this covenant membership document, I wholeheartedly make this public commitment. And so the following folks who I'm about to call up have done that. They have followed all of these things, they have signed the covenant agreement, and they wish to become new members. Would the following folks please come up as I call your name? Dale Weaver. Debbie Weaver. And Julie Hoffner. I'll ask you just to stand here in front of the communion table, or behind it actually, if you you can do that. Yeah, there's space there. Yeah. Just on this side here is fine. Yeah. Thank you. Listen carefully as I present to you the covenant of membership of the Brethren in Christ Church, by which you're pledging allegiance to God and to the fidelity of the church. It reads this. It says, as a member of the Brethren in Christ Church, I accept the Bible as the written word of God, in which is revealed the way of salvation and the guide for faith and conduct. I witness to a personal experience of God's saving grace in my heart, and I express desire and purpose to live a holy life apart from sin and separated unto Christ. I covenant as a member of the Brethren in Christ to be loyal to this congregation, to consent to instruction and Bible doctrine, to support and sustain the services of this congregation by my regular attendance and prayers, and to contribute to her program as the Lord prospers me, and to foster a spirit of Christian fellowship and oneness within the church. If this is your purpose, will you affirm this covenant by answering, I do? At this point, would you just turn and face the congregation? Church, you have heard the commitment these brothers and sisters are willing to make to you and to this church. Will you covenant with them to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and to live a life of love toward one another just as Christ has loved you and has given himself up for you? If so, will you please indicate so by standing with us now? Thank you. Let us all pray together. Father, we are so thankful for Dale and Debbie, for Julie. We pray your blessings upon them as they become members of this church. Father, we're reminded this morning of the great joy of covenanting with one another, which can be a little scary at times. Lord, because we know that this is sacred. We know that we're committing to each other, committing to you, submitting to one another, submitting to you. Lord, and we know this runs contrary to the way of the world. It's always looking for a way out and a quick exit. So, Lord, we celebrate the idea of covenant. And, God, we recognize that without you in the middle of that covenant, it can't last. But with you, Lord, all things are possible. So together as a church, Father, we thank you. We thank you for these new members, and we receive them into our fellowship. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, Dale, Debbie, and Julie, upon your testimony and acceptance of the membership covenant, we welcome you into the membership of this church with all the responsibilities and the blessings associated. Church, please show them your support by giving them a round of applause.
Wonderful. You all may be seated. And you may have already noticed in your bulletin that you received when you came in, there's an insert there with the testimonies of these three, as well as another who will be baptized later in the service. So I encourage you, when you have a chance, to read those, such beautiful stories of God's work in their lives. Let's come together to pray together now. Gracious God, we come before you with gratitude today for who you are, for all you've done for us. We celebrate with these who have covenanted to be members of this local body. We rejoice over your work in their lives and pray that you would help us all to be united with one another in love and to live into the mission to which you've called us. We rejoice also with those who will be baptized later in the service, and we praise you for your transforming work in their lives. God, you are so faithful in reaching out to us, and we're humbled that you call us your own. Lord, in this season of Thanksgiving, we ask you to forgive us when we are ungrateful. Forgive us when we start to think that we deserve all we have. Forgive us when we hold tightly to our resources with clenched fists, living with fear and greed and selfishness. God, thank you for your grace, that although you were rich, you became poor for our sake, so that we might become rich in Christ. Help us to respond to your generosity with love and joyful obedience. And God, as we think about our upcoming interactions this week, how many of us will be with loved ones and friends, help us to approach these days with hearts submitted to you. As we open our homes or enter into others, help us to extend hospitality and grace. Enable us to listen well, to serve, to find joy and rest. And as we gather around the table, allow us to experience the blessings of community and mission. We thank you, God, for how you invite us into your sacred work in the world. And we think about how we get to partner with Thrift on Purpose, the new thrift shop opening tomorrow. We pray that store would be a blessing to those in our own community as well as those around the globe as the income generated goes toward Mennonite Central Committee's relief and peace efforts. We thank you also for our other ministry partners and how they'll be blessing our community this week. For Paxton residents and volunteers as they gather for a special meal. For 180 Ministries as they host some folks who need a place to go. For New Hope Ministries as many in our community receive the Thanksgiving food baskets that have been put together that we got to contribute to. Lord, we pray that these simple gestures and special times would be multiplied into beautiful experiences of Christ's love. And we also think of what's happening in other parts of the world. And this week, we lift up Southern Africa, where there is severe drought and famine. We pray for Macha Hospital in Zambia, where several folks in our congregation have connections, as they experience increased cases of malnutrition and chronic disease, as well as double their typical capacity in the expecting mother shelter. We ask that you would provide resources, bring healing, and strengthen those serving, both physically and emotionally. Lord, there is much we could bring to you, much we have on our hearts. There are some among us dealing with deep brokenness and hardship. And we pray that you would be our rock and fortress. We hold to your scripture, which tells us not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to you. So, Lord, as difficult as that may be, we offer our concerns to you. We offer ourselves to you. And we do so with gratitude, thankful for how you have been faithful in the past, grateful for how you are walking with us today, and hopeful for how you will one day make all things right. We join our voices now to pray in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, one thing we can celebrate this last week, and some of you may have seen this in our weekly email from this week, is an update on the offering that we received for Mission Sunday last week. You and those from Ignite Church who joined us gave over $17,000. Our goal was $10,000. And so that will be divided evenly between Ignite Church and SPICE, the child sponsorship program for through the Bread in Christ with children in Nepal and India. So praise God for that, for his work in and through you. Yeah, go ahead. And I'll also say that was giving on top of our regular offering, which received much more than we typically need on average for our week. So with our budgeted giving, we're within about $11,000 of our budget for the year. So that's another praise to God. We have the opportunity now to give, as we do every week, as an expression of gratitude and worship to God. And you know that sometimes we like to share with you ways that our gifts are at work, that what we give to our general fund each week goes a lot of different directions. But one of those over this last year was to help support three members of our congregation as they served in Dearborn, Michigan, for a week over the summer. So during the offering, you're going to see a video, which is really a story of God at work in these three from Grantham Church. It's also a story of God at work in the people they served in Dearborn, and a story of God at work through all of us as we contributed financially to make this trip possible. So as the ushers come forward and as we give, watch this testimony of how God put our gifts to work.
My dad actually went to Messiah. I was like, yeah, you know what, let's try Grantham, see how it goes. And I was like, okay. And I was kind of in a great point in my life. Like I was kind of like, you know, whatever. You know, coming to church was just kind of another thing, not something that I really tapped into necessarily. But coming to Grantham and being greeted with so much love and compassion and kindness, it really changed me. I mean, it basically brought me to Jesus for the first time in my life. So since then, I've been looking in ways to grow, see where God leads me to be active. And missions was never anything that I really had thought about. I was all gung-ho about, like, oh, I'd love to go overseas, get see a different culture. But then Dearborn presented itself. It was cheaper. It was, like, sooner. And also definitely more my speed. I mean, God blessed me with Becky and Mike, and then the rest of our crew is awesome. I think a good introductory to what missions is.
My name is Micah Owen. My family served as missionaries in Southern Africa for almost 9 years, and Grantham Church was our sending church that supported us that whole time. The mission field has always been exciting for me. About a year ago, I went on a missions trip to Colombia in South America. It really helped me think about missions differently from long-term missions. And so when I heard that there was going to be a missions trip to Dearborn, Michigan, I thought it would be a great way to serve a culture and a people that I do not have a lot of experience with.
I believe it's like the largest Arab Muslim population in the United States. They have the largest mosque. I don't know much about Islam, I know a little bit. So I think seeing how God would bring me out of my comfort zone to a completely different culture that I've never, ever at all like explored. I wanna, you know, experience this, I feel called. So like it was really good to have like experienced people in my group. You know.
So we went to Dearborn, Michigan to participate in the Kids Life program. And that's a program that goes all year long. Most of the community is Arab, Muslim. Some have been there for just a short time, just arrived in the United States, and others have been there for years. A lot of the kids don't have English as their first language, so this program helps them practice their English skills through math and English, and also just to catch up in the summer.
So we got there Sunday. We met at the church, got a little bit of training, got to know who we'd be working with.
Hospitality is definitely a strength of Arab culture. We had a wonderful dinner made by one of the Syrian women in the program. The food is wonderful and there's a lot of it. So that was how we were introduced to Dearborn. And then we had a little orientation. So they said, all right, this is what we need this week. We need a teacher in this classroom. We need a helper in this classroom. We need someone to do set up for this, this, and that. And so we all stood there and decided who would do what for that week.
And I was a driver, and Mike was actually my passenger, I think, for all of the days, which was really fun. I mean, I've never driven kids that I've never met before in someone else's van. And actually, like, it was really cool. It's like getting to know them, being intentional about that, because some of them were pretty quiet to begin with. And I'm stepping into their culture, and I want to be respectful of that. I mean, one girl asked me why I have earrings. You know, like, that's not a thing in Muslim culture for guys to have earrings. So just small conversations like that.
Teenage girls are teenage girls no matter where you go. So they like talking about a lot of the same things. They really just want someone to invest in them and care about them and what they're up to.
Many of the younger children were really excited to see older people that they could look up to and play sports with. I'm not as good at sports as they are. I got yelled at for missing goals and, yeah.
So they were actually mad at you, probably?
Yes, yes. They were very mad.
Haley, the leader of Kids Life, I think she mentioned at one point that they do get dialogue with Christians, but a lot of it's debating. But like there's really no fruit in that most of the time. You know, like they're used to that. You know, and we did do Bible lessons, but it wasn't anything that we, you know, kind of shoved in their face. You know, we're human beings, like we're going there to serve them humbly.
We were doing the story of Ruth, and as I was telling the story, a number of them, I could tell, knew the story. They had heard this before. And one girl, she was wide-eyed and asked her, "Have you heard this story before?" And she said, "No." And so I told the rest of the girls, "Don't tell the ending. Wait for it. Wait for it." Let her discover this story for the first time. And it was just so neat to see that happen right before my eyes.
There's a lot of preconceived notions about Muslims, right? And that's just what it is. So getting to know these fellow brothers and sisters just, you know, in a human way, they're really welcoming and hospitable. Like, their hearts are beautiful. You know, if you feel led, like, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Don't ignore that voice. I don't think I necessarily had a doubt of where my finances were going, but it is good to have that exposure to see how our resources are being put to work, like literally for Jesus.
Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Thanksgiving, of course, is this natural time of year where we reflect on what we're thankful for. And as Christians, we know God to be the source of all good in our lives. He is the one to whom we direct our gratitude. So we're going to take some time in our service today to do, as Pastor Dave mentioned earlier, share testimony, share thanks with one another about God at work in our lives and how we're grateful for his goodness this year. So in a couple moments, I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple people around you. You have a couple minutes to kind of mull this over. I know this might feel uncomfortable for some of you, but we're going to ask you to share ways that you are grateful for God's goodness in your life this year, and you can share as simple or basic or as personal as you'd like to. But I recognize that some in this room, you know, may be going through a really difficult time, and this could be a really challenging discipline to find ways that you're grateful to God right now. And, you know, we recognize there are seasons of struggle and lament and doubt. And so I invite you, we're going to actually watch a video, another video here in just a second, where we'll hear some in our congregation share how they're grateful for God at work. And maybe that will prompt something in your heart. But I invite you, if you're in that hard place where it's hard for you to find gratitude to God, to just ask him, "Lord, where are you at work? How will you show me your love today?" And then maybe that would be something you could share. So let's watch this video.
What I am thankful for this year is my best friend Talia.
Hey Talia!
And all the friends I have made this year. I'm also thankful for my mom and my dad and my sister and how she's able to pursue in her dreams. I'm also thankful for my mom and dad's ministry and all the people that they were able to help this year.
For all the opportunities that I've been given this year to engage and be with others who have helped me slow down in my life and be present with Jesus, for that I am grateful this year.
I'm Lydia Mead, and I'm thankful for my baby cousins.
I am so thankful for another year to be with both of my sisters. I'm also thankful for a year of blessings from my neighbors and friends who have put legs to their prayers. I'm thankful for a wonderful church and the pastors and the in-depth sermons and personal care.
We are thankful for God's goodness in our life this year because He gifted us Logan.
I'm grateful for God's goodness in my life this year because my family and I ended last year with a lot of grief and uncertainty after two of my grandparents passed away a week apart from each other. But over the past year, God has given me a lot more understanding and peace on what happened as well as how to move forward.
I'm really thankful for the families and students that God has provided me to teach over the last 24 years at Meridian Springs. Even more thankful for the opportunity that was presented to me here at Grantham Church and the great new colleagues that I get to work with.
This year, I've been especially thankful for how God has opened up opportunities in my life for me to get to know my church family and my neighbors.
I'm grateful that God provided me the summer off to recharge and to care for my parents.
I am thankful this year and every year for how God has accepted me as who I am. He's forgiven me many times. He's watched over me and taken care of me. And He's given me wisdom to live my life and to reach out to others.
So now is your chance to share how you are grateful for God's goodness in your life this year.
So very exciting when we get to baptize folks. We normally do this in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall. And some folks prefer the creek. Even in August, it's really cold. So it's a little bit more regulated here. No currents in the baptistry. We don't have to worry about it. Though it did cool off a little bit, Dwayne, since it'll be fine. Two people were baptizing this morning. The first one's Declan Basinger. Declan? Declan, have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I have.
Do you believe that He's forgiven you of your sins?
Of course.
Do you commit to, very good. Do you commit to following Him the rest of your life?
I do.
All right, we're going to turn this way. Declan, upon your profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. All right. Let's pray for Declan. Lord, we are so thankful for the work that you are doing in Declan's life. We pray your blessings upon him as he seeks to follow you for the rest of his days, discerning your will for his life, and with your strength and power, doing it. God, we are so thankful. We pray blessings upon him and upon his family, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Next is Julie Hoffner. I'm going to ask you some questions. All right. Julie, have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Do you believe that He's forgiven you of your sins?
Yes.
Now, do you commit to following the rest of your life?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, wait a minute. I'm going to cramp in my leg.
Julie, upon your profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for Julie. Lord, we thank you for Julie. We pray your blessings upon her life. We're so thankful for her years of service to you. And God, we celebrate this act of stepping into the baptismal waters and joining with this church family. God, just continue to go with her. May she be a blessing to the children, to her family, and to all that she serves in the future. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Well, amen. We get to continue in this attitude of gratitude, to sound a little cheesy, at a meal after the service now down in Fellowship Hall, down this long hallway. And after that meal will be our congregational council. All are welcome, as that is a way we come together as a church family and reflect on God's goodness and think about what's ahead for the next year. Members of the church will vote on the 2025 budget, as well as church board and committee and commission members. There is also childcare available for that, so I hope you'll be able to join us. Now receive this benediction. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Go in peace.